Until recently, my mom still introduces me as an engineer only in family functions. Or like, he's done his engineering.
So which is that first video which your family really bragged about in your function? Which is that first work?
I think, honestly, none of the AIB work I could show, like, nothing was family friendly. In Bangalore, like, you have to be an engineer.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's no other stream. Like, you know, you're not even allowed to go near a commerce or an arts college. Like, even if you get an admission in the arts college, it somehow goes to an engineering college. Got into engineering college, but passed out as a writer. And then I realized, okay, now what do I do? So I joined advertising.
So today I have with me Divaya. Divaya, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tammy. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to the discussions today. It would be fun. I think we should talk openly about your ways of, you know, cracking these crazy breaking the internet campaigns. And just before we get started with Divaya, one of the things that I was talking about before the show is the fact that for whom are we doing the show, right? So it's very important for us to know that there are so many young professionals out there, young students just out of college, who don't have an idea how to get into this industry, how to get into advertising, copywriting, you know, and making content for the digital age. So I think that's our intention. And with that, I think let's start off with your background and how are you here today?
My life story, basically.
Yeah.
Actually, it's very predictable. Like, it's the most predictable, like, story that everyone in creative field goes through. So I'm basically from Bangalore, born, brought up there. And in Bangalore, you have to be an engineer.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's no other stream. Like, you know, you're not even allowed to go near a commerce or an arts college. Like, even if you get an admission in the arts college, it somehow goes to an engineering college. Yeah. So as a proper Bangalorean growing up in the 90s and the early 2000s, ended up in engineering college, which I believe, which I always tell people, is one of the best writing schools. Like, the best writing schools in the country is an engineering college. Like, the life experience you have over there, the kind of people you meet, and even today, like, our team, I think 3 out of 4 of us are engineers. And it's not a very different thing. So before this, when I was in advertising, or even if I'm working with a director, or, you know, most of the times they're all engineers. So, and when you think about why that happens, I think it's because everyone has, like, a particular vision when you think of engineering. You think you will be, like, building some spaceships and rockets and all these things and doing aeronautics or, like, you know, you're building a car and all that. None of that nonsense happens. None of the good shit happens in an engineering college. You're only clearing exams.
Hmm.
So when you go there, your first week, you're completely disillusioned. You're like, oh, shit, this is not a place for what I thought here. I'm here for. So you have an army of left brain people who are pretty much disillusioned with their education, and they are super rational, and they have a lot of free time suddenly.
Yeah.
All right. And they have to do something with it. And that's how most of us start, like, you know, then we join the college cultural team, or like, we, you know, go watch movies, you know. I think more movies get watched in an engineering college hostel than in a filmmaking school.
Thanks to DC++.
thanks to DC. Back then,
LimeWire and all of those things.
Everything going through the rooms.
Yeah.
We were also in the CD-ROM pen drive days. So, so everyone watches a lot of movies.
Yeah.
All right. And they get super inspired because you have a lot of time, and then you have a lot of time again. So you have an army of people who are also having a lot of time. So you get together and start creating things.
Correct.
And the best part, what I've noticed, is no one comes with a preconceived notion of the arts.
Mm.
All right.
Yeah.
And no one comes with biases in arts.
Mm.
All right. Like, if you are in a writing school or in, like, say, a creative school, what generally happens is there's so much theory. There's so many schools of thought. And then you are mostly analyzing schools of thought, theories, and, you know, you are like, okay, I like this particular school of thought. So let me kind of create from that particular point of view. But over here, you generally don't have a school of thought. You're making it up as you go along.
Mm.
And you're just solving problems using your common sense.
Mm.
All right. Even creative storytelling, you're just using your common sense and you're like kind of solving problems. So a very unique breed of creatives have come out of India because of this environment. I mean, you look at, IIT, for example, right? IIT Kharagpur.
Yeah.
Like TVF, like everyone from there is like, you know, I think more people get placed in TVF over there than any other company probably.
Yeah.
Like you look at the comedians, like, you know, Kannan, Biswa, Kenny, all of them engineers, right? Yeah. So there's this massive, like there's this unique breed of people that get created in an engineering college. There's its own school of writing and creation that happens there.
Yeah.
So I got into engineering college, but passed out as a writer. And then I realized, okay, now what do I do? So I joined advertising as an intern in Ogilvy in Bangalore, 2008. And I quite liked it. So
your parents are okay? Son out of engineering college.
So my dad's a writer. Huh. So, I mean, he kind of understood. Like my mom and family, like... See, it's obviously like I wouldn't blame them also because it's a shock, right? Like we are talking 2008, where like there are no careers like you know that exist today, right? So it is kind of shocking. And until recently, my mom still introduces me as an engineer in family functions, or like he's done his engineering. So
and is that the reason? Just pausing there. Is that a reason? Your company tagline is very interesting. We make ads that your parents would be happy to brag about in family functions.
Yeah. I genuinely believe that's the true test of virality.
Yeah.
Okay, like you know, you can go viral on the internet.
Yeah.
But what is going viral on the internet, when that goes viral in real life,
in real life.
Is peak virality.
Correct.
Right? Like when in family functions, you're talking about a video you watched, I think that's like virality.
Yeah.
So then after engineering, I joined Ogilvy and... I did decently well, but like advertising has a lot of there's a massive luck factor also involved, because you're thinking of ideas, you're pitching ideas, then your boss should like that idea, then their boss should like that idea, then you take those ideas to the client, like then the client should like the idea, then after if it survives till that place, then they should have budgets to do that idea.
Correct. Commercial should approve that budget.
Yeah, commercial should approve that budget. And so many times at some stage it gets culled, right? I thought I worked really hard and I thought I did decent amount of good work, but nothing like really was coming out.
Mm.
And was also getting frustrated with, with the lack of like things coming out you know, we all live for recognition.
Correct.
And validation.
Absolutely.
So, you know, a simple question like, what did you work on? Like, you know, if I introduce myself, hey, well, did I see any of your ads? I'm like, oh, no, you've not, maybe. So that happened. So then in 2013, like I spent, 2015, I spent about 7 years in advertising.
Mm.
Then I was like hitting a dead end. But at the same time, social media started coming up.
Mm.
Facebook was in, and Facebook introduced newsfeed that changed all our lives.
Mm.
And
were you in Orkut also?
Yeah, I was in Orkut. I was everywhere. Okay, so I was in Orkut. And then Facebook, I was in Facebook pre-newsfeed days as well. Then they introduced newsfeed that pretty much changed the internet forever.
Yeah.
Then something called Upload Your Status Here came. So then I think life changed there. Basically, I should just keep uploading status messages. Like I realized, oh, I'm getting likes. So I'm like, okay, let's get this funnier. So like I would, the releases that were not happening at work, I would somehow compensate with like Facebook status updates. So kind of grow a little bit of an audience there. Then I was like getting bored. I was like in advertising, nothing's happening. 7 years in the business. Nothing great to show people. And then I was like looking out. I mean, I was like, okay, I've shifted agencies, shifted cities, but like what next? I just felt at that point, I was like, okay, let me just concentrate on my body. It's just the weirdest thing. Okay. I mean, it doesn't look like that, but at one point I just lost like a lot of weight. I was like running daily and everything. So I was like, okay, let me just look inwards, concentrate on my body.
Mm.
And that was the only goal. I remember 2015, like that was a goal in my life. And then, just write status updates, go to office, look at notifications, then come back, try and go for a run, eat healthy. And then one day, I heard from an ex-colleague that AIB is hiring. And, I just started watching AIB and all that.
So those podcast days, they
started this is 2015 when this happened. Just like the roast had just come out.
Yeah.
So this is around then. And I was like, hey, this looks like a gig, right? Like, because it's got social media, which I'm trying to sort of game. And it's got filmmaking, which is like, and it's got ideas. But I had no experience in comedy writing. Yeah. Or never done stand-up, nothing. So then I got like introduced to Tanmay and Gang, and then did a copy test, like failed, like horribly. And so Tanmay said like, whatever, like, you know what, I'll just give you one more. Because the person who had introduced me to Tanmay had said, thankfully, good things about me. So I was like, okay, maybe this is, you had a bad one. Like, you know, I'll give you one more. And at that point, I was like, the first copy test, I spent like 3 weeks. Okay, like really thought too much. I overthought everything and I sort of sent in the scripts. The second one, I just told him yes. And then I forgot about it. And then I think 1.5 weeks later, I messaged saying, hey, like, I just said like, hey, I'm doing it in 2 days. I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
And then I just went back. I spent like one night and I just wrote something and I sent it. And that he liked. And then he offered me a job. And I'm OTO AIB.
Yeah. Isn't this like, I have also seen in my experience, a lot of good writing comes out 2 hours before the deadline.
yes and no. I feel if I had not done the first copy test, I had not spent so much time, then I couldn't crack this in the last minute.
Yeah.
So I genuinely believe, like, I am very scared of last minute work. So I know there are instances, of course, in all our careers, when some crazy thing happens in the last minute. I mean, that's the beauty of what we do, right? You don't know what is going to come when.
Correct.
But I always believe that happened in the last minute because you worked, like, some 4 days with nothing coming. And in the last minute that came. So so it's a function of work.
So which is that first video which your family really bragged about in your function? Which is that first work?
I think, honestly, none of the AIB work I could show. Like, nothing was family friendly. It was a little bit. So this, if they thought like, okay, like after engineering, he joined advertising. And then, like, after 7 years, now I'm joining this comedy collective, which has been in the news for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
So so that was another downer.
Yeah.
So I don't think I could show too much of my work at AIB. But, like, we did, like, something for Shah Rukh that time, some DDL. Yeah. It wasn't even honestly, like, a really, it's one of those last minute things which I'm not so, like, I mean, it's creatively not that good, but it did really well. Shah Rukh, I think, had, like, 20 years of DDLJ or something like that, and he reached out to AIB and said, hey, can you quickly just write something and send? I'll just shoot it. So that like, my family, like, really, like, had something to show finally.
So AIB se abhi moonshot tak. So many kick-ass ads, viral ads, breaking the internet. Wo progression kaise hua, if you can talk a little bit?
Yeah, so basically, after AIB, I started another company called All Things Small, which was into long-form, non-fiction, and, you know, true story adaptations and things like that. Somewhere, like, I realized the gestation period in long form, no, is so vast. All right, like, I know there are long form writers, and I respect them probably a crazy amount after having been through that, been through those journeys. But for me, it didn't work because you put in like 2 to 3 years writing something, then a year making it, and then there are about probably like so many people looking at what you're doing, altering things, and then when it comes out, it may not be as good as what you started. Maybe your own writing was not that good, but you just realize that 4 years later, and then it comes out one day and then no one talks about it in the evening. I felt that journey is something that I cannot be doing. And at around the same time, we were doing ads for Cred.
Okay.
So in 2020, we started with the audition series. Kunal reached out to Tanmay and said like, hey, IPL's coming. We've got spots. Like, why don't, you guys take a shot at it? And then Tanmay was like, yeah, sure. Tanmay reached out to me and he's like, hey, like, so Tanmay and I were not working together then because he started his YouTube channel and I had started All Things Small. So then he asked me like, hey, like, you know, just do this one gig. I said, yeah, sounds like fun. Like, always great working with Tanmay. So then like myself, then Puneet, who's to be a writer at AIB and Nupur, like four of us, we sat and we like just, there was no expectations. And we didn't know what, like, honestly, like, how big things, like, how big, like, the impact of advertising, honestly, we didn't know. And then it makes sense, right?
Correct.
Because whatever you're doing is, like, pumped into 100 million homes or whatever, 200 million homes.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you do something nicely, it's like, it really, like, what do you say, compounds after a level in terms of effect.
Yeah.
You know, more than, like, say, an internet viral video, which is, like, a few thousand shares and, like, next day it dies. But here, it's a beaming into so many homes. So we did the first cred campaign. And that did really well. And then we were like, okay, cool. Like, that was good. Like, good break. Let's get back to whatever we were doing. And then again, the next time, 2021, Kunal again, like, team said, like, reached out and said, like, hey, like, let's do it again. And then we had so much fun the first time. And Cred's also, I mean, just brilliant clients, right? Like, they give full creative freedom, whatever. Really good to work with. They also understand, they get it, like, they have taste. So I was like, yeah, sure. And then we did the second series, which is the Jim Saab, Rahul Dravid, that whole series. And that really kind of blew up. And then brands started reaching out to us, left, right, center, saying that, hey, you know, why don't you do work for us and all that. But we were doing separate things and we were doing other things. So we would sort of say no most of the time. And then somewhere in 2022, I was like, okay, what if we kind of did this more often? And yeah, so Tanmay said, yeah, let's go for it. And so 2023, we
started off.
Yeah, we, I mean, just full time, just doing Moonshot, advertising.
Yeah.
And then we sort of started Moonshot in 2023.
So with that, I have a segue into two questions. One, ek toh a typical brainstorming session happening, say we'll take Cred as an example, right? Explain for our audience, a typical brainstorming session, definitely it's a creative brainstorming, so it's not structured, right? So a little bit on how, what are the cues that go into a typical brainstorming session to actually output an idea that you feel is good enough to get into a successful client pitch, at your end at least.
Okay. Maybe Cred would not be the example, because it was like not a pitch exactly because we are doing it. But usually what happens is like a client reaches out and they tell us, you know, that, hey, this is like a problem we have or this is something that we want to address. We want to tell everyone that X is now like available everywhere. So they give us a very one line. That's what we look for, a one line problem statement. Like, what are we solving? And from the client, we just want to know, what do you want to say? That's it. It's as simple as that. Just tell us what you want to say. What is the message of this? And once that comes in, so usually, like, the team, which is, like, which is more or less been the same, which is there's Tanmay, me, there's Puneet and Deep. So we kind of switch on our Zoom meeting links, get on Zoom calls. And we start thinking. So we do this for about 5 to 6 days every day where we just sit and just look at this problem statement and think of every way we can attack it. Okay. Like, what example can I give you to make? Say, for example, Subway. Okay, Subway had this, we did this Vishwanathan Anand ad. Subway had this problem where, like it's very difficult for, like, Indians used to find it overwhelming to kind of go and order, like, what they want in a Subway because you have to make your own sub, right? So that could be, like, overwhelming for Indians. It might work in Europe, but maybe not so much. So they wanted to launch a series for people who can just point and order and you can eat. That was a very clear brief, all right? Like, the client there, his name is Mayur Hola. He's a CMO. Brilliant guy. So, like, very clear brief. And he said, yeah, you have full creative freedom. Do what you want. So then we go back and we just think first 5-6 days. We are just thinking, okay, like, if this happens, like, we are like, okay, if, what are nice ways to show that you get what you want? Okay? So now if that is an angle, you get what you want. And then we think of, like, some 10 ideas about you get what you want, different stories.
Hmm.
Then because we're comedy writers, we think a lot of in terms of comedy sketches.
Yeah.
Like all the, like, you know, we, that's all we watched, like Key and Peele or like College Humor. And, you know, that's where we come, like where our ideas, like that's how we are trained to think because of AIB. Mm. So then we take this one particular angle and then we'll think of 8-9 ideas, small 30-second of films where, like, you know, we are always noting down, like, however bad the idea is, it goes down in the doc, like a 2-line description of this idea. So I think the first goal always is to fill the page. All right. So you don't maybe judge too hard because, like, say we have just started discussing on something, whatever it is, you fill the page. So sometimes what happens, what we've realized with this approach is that you might get a very okay-ish idea, but then 8 ideas later, you'll crack a good idea. And then this okay-ish idea can be part of that good idea that you cracked, and then you can combine those two to make something nicer. And we do this for 4 days, different angles we take, and then you know, probably one of the angles with, say, Subway was like, you feel so, like, dumb when you order, right? Because they're gonna ask you like 10 questions, you feel really dumb. So you don't know, like, what to pick. And you could be really smart in life, but you'll make a dumb decision while ordering a sub, right? So, you know, and that is something we thought, hey, that is, like, quite interesting. And then that's how we're like, okay, what if you take the smartest man in the country, like, can't order a Subway properly, right? He gets nervous or she gets nervous while ordering a sub. And then we think of, like, sometimes you think of an idea and then you'll be like, okay, who could be interesting in this idea? And then we're like, hey, okay, like, who are the really smart people in the country? And then, like, hey, okay, there's Vishwanathan Anand, right? And so now we have, like, ideas like this. So we've just written everything down. And then after 4-5 days, all of us go into the doc and discuss each idea that's been put down. So at this point, they could be like, anywhere between like 20 to 25 ideas at least that's made it to 3-liners. And we'll be like, okay, this is dismissed, like, but after a discussion, everyone has to have their point of view, like, why this is good. And then we realize there are ideas where all of us have unanimously gone and said, ah, this is amazing. So then we just mark, highlight those ideas. All right. So then we go through the 25, highlight everything. Then we come back and then we see, okay, like, there are, whatever, 8-9 potential good ideas here. Then those go into first drafts. So then sit and write the first drafts of that out. And then we look at the first drafts and then we're like, okay, this was good as an idea, but not so good as a script. So then, like, then you kind of pick like 4-5 and then take it to the client. And then hopefully they like something. And then we go from there.
So it's like second question, Adivaya. Because we are trying to solve this for a broader population, jinko is field mein career banana hai, right? So, for example, you said that you started off with Ogilvy as an intern, then you found that opportunity for AIB, right? So, for any professional, for example, I'll take, right? Someone who's a software engineer, and he knows that he's a good writer, right? So, usko agar is field mein ghusna hai, right, and get all of these opportunities to work with brands, what, according to you, can be helpful for them? I know opportunities don't come in a plate, right?
Correct.
So, you always have to strive and get noticed. But which is a good point to start off?
I genuinely feel that these days, if you are like, Say you're a creator, okay, like, whatever mode of creation that you do, like, say, for example, you're a writer and you want to write brand work, you want to do content, you need to have a proof of work, all right, before you approach someone, even if you're a fresher.
Correct.
Because there is, like, it's very easy to get proof of work these days. Like I said, like, write updates, like, go viral, tweet, like, if you have to go ask for an internship at a big agency, and you probably don't have a conventional career path that they would want you to have, which is like, go to like a writing school, advertising school, then get placed via college internship, you need to sort of like have something to show, and that could be showing that, hey, I can go on the internet and get people's attention successfully. So if you have that, people will be like, okay, like, let's talk. So a few things happen, right? Like when you kind of start like writing on the internet or creating on the internet, start making reels that are going viral. One is you get followers.
Yeah.
And then you will invariably get some followers who are like from the industry who follow you.
Mm.
All right. And then because now you follow each other, there is legitimacy in your conversation. It's not a unidirectional cold message or cold email.
Yeah.
It is a proper interaction. So that also becomes a place to start where you can start talking to people, and then they followed you because they like your work, and then you can start seeking advice, and they would probably help you sort of get an internship somewhere.
So for example, in Moonshot, your current company, right? How do you look out for talent? Like today, like we were discussing before we started recording, right? Aaj ke time pe, hamari country mein itne opportunities hai on creative field, right? But there is always a dearth of talent.
Yeah.
Right? In every field today.
Yeah.
In Moonshot, when you are looking for fresh writing talent, how do you search for it?
Ours is a little like a different situation because we like look at, so we look at essentially people, again, who have proven that they can go viral. We are so flexible that way like we will make space if someone is really good. You know, there is no like, okay, this person is too junior or this person is too senior. We'll find a way to make space. So I think the only way you can do that is by showing you can create. Like, and the excuse can't be, I don't have an opportunity to show that, because the internet is there for you to show that. And you have to show proof of work, because otherwise, why will anyone give you an opportunity? Second is, if, for example, you know you are, you want to apply to a particular advertising agency, you can just look up the brands that they're working on and kind of do spec ads on those brands, all right? Or like, you know, write spec scripts. When I say spec, it means like you don't have a brief, but on you're just taking like, say you've seen like, say, for example, a KFC. You want to do an ad for KFC. If the agency you want to approach is working on KFC.
Correct.
Like a small print ad. Or you want to write a small radio spot. You want to write a small film. So that they look at it and they're like, okay, it's easy to judge then, right? Because I'm like, hey, in my office, there are 8 people working on the same brief. Now there's some new new creative has come in my email. If it's really good, I immediately know because there's a yardstick. And I'm like, hey, this person is good because like to crack something like this.
Yeah.
A person with 2-3 years experience here is cracking something like this. Right. So let's talk to them. So that is one way also to go about it.
Yeah.
But basically, you have to create. Nothing is by accident. You have to also, because you don't have... one thing I've seen with people is that they are like, okay, I'm an engineer. I didn't go to advertising or whatever school. But they're interested in a particular field. Okay. Just interest won't work.
That's interesting.
So you have to like sort of self-learn, probably like understand what is being taught in an advertising school to an extent to know what direction you have to pick up Google and learn on your own. So read, like watch all the ads possible, like watch all the classics from the 60s, 70s, go to Cannes website, you know, just go to YouTube, just say Cannes winning ads, one show winning ads, just watch everything. So you know when you're, what helps over there is when you're writing your spec piece of work or like you're creating, you want to write like an ad, you'll be like, okay, this particular format, someone in 1960 or 1970 or 1980 had attempted it and this is how they had done it. So you'll be like, oh, okay, that is an interesting way to solve a problem. Like I'm not saying just take the idea and like chop it, but you're like, oh, okay, they had... Like, this is the leap they had taken. Like, this is the angle they had taken. So, now you know there's a yardstick. So, you have to figure an angle that is as good as the angle some old ad had taken. So, watching a lot of old work and understanding the history of, like, say, if you're talking advertising, understanding old piece of work that have done really well and dissecting it. When you're cracking your own piece of work, you will know, okay, some person had this, was here in insight and took it here via execution. By looking at their work, you're like, okay, this is how they did it. So now you can apply the same steps to be like, okay, now if I exaggerate this particular insight into like the most exaggerated form, this is how like I can do it, because someone else, maybe you've seen an ad which has used exaggeration very well.
You know, I was also thinking, right, I'm a big fan of Tanmay's vlogs, right? So when he comes and dissects those memes, right, I watch each and every of those, right? And I was thinking, like, even not only as, like, content like this, because through those kind of content, a lot of insights how the current internet generation is thinking.
Yeah.
And thinking differently. Wo bhi pata chal jata hai.
Correct. Absolutely. Right?
So maybe, you know, what we can do is in our comment section when we post it out, if you can help us with some of the links of some of the, according to you, some of that, you know, treasure of the stuff that you follow or the channels that you follow, we can post it out on our section. So watch out for the comment section where we can post out those links. So the next section that, so we have done brainstorming session, the process that you take crafting a creative out. ये बहुत एक कॉमन सवाल होता है एक ब्रांड मैनेजर के दिमाग में. तो सपोज करो मैं एक ब्रांड मैनेजर हूँ और आप एजेंसी हो, ठीक है. मैं बोलता हूँ सो दिवाया, थैंक यू फॉर कमिंग, आपने बहुत सारे कमाल के एड्स बनाए हैं, बट मेरे को ना वायरल एड चाहिए. ये तो सबसे कॉमन क्वेश्चन होता है ब्रांड मैनेजर के दिमाग में. ब्रांड मैनेजर ने बोल दिया वायरल एड चाहिए. अभी आप वायरल एड कैसे बनाओगे? ये मतलब व्हेन यू गेट अ क्वेश्चन फ्रॉम अ ब्रांड मैनेजर. And by default, a lot of brand managers in today's day and age, they will tell you, bhai, buy viral bana ke leke aao.
Yeah.
Do you face that kind of question?
Yeah.
Response kaise hota hai, and how do you handle it?
I think the important thing for, like, at least me is, like, while we are writing the idea, we have to ask ourselves that question.
Yeah.
Like, is this going to do well?
Yeah.
Like, if it's not going to do well, why are you even writing it?
Correct.
Right? And one thing that, like, again, maybe out of training, is that when I think of, like, say, an idea, even for, like, a LinkedIn post or even for an Instagram post, see, like, I look at all that as practice, like, daily. So if I put out an Instagram post and it doesn't do well, it really hurts me. It's like shit. It's like I'm taking a shit on my craft, like, you know, because... I go into like, oh shit, am I not reading the audience well on this? Like, what have I gone wrong in this like carousel post? So I do a lot of writing on Instagram and I post it as carousels. Or I do like a tweet thread, or on LinkedIn I write a little bit. So if it doesn't do well, like I go into this like, why did it not do well? So generally, I think for us, the pressure is not so much from maybe the brand managers. It's our own pressure that, like, it has to do well. So, like, say, for example, like, one thing I always do is that always think, like, when an idea, like, hits me to even, like, write something as basic as Instagram or LinkedIn, I'm like, what are people going to say when they share it? Okay. Yeah. Like, will it be a lol? Or will it be like, oh, I did not think about it this way? Or will it be like, finally someone said it? Right? Like, I try and imagine what the shares... what people will write when they're sharing, or what the comments are going to be. And then generally I'll be like, okay, this is the reaction that I want from this particular post or from this particular piece of content. And this is what like the reaction, most reaction is going to be. Then I kind of skew the writing in that direction to get that kind of reaction. And the best feeling is when you plan this and then you upload something and put it out. And when people share this, say the exact same thing that you had thought about, like then you're like, huh, then you cracked it.
So it's a continuous practice.
Yeah. So it is practice. So to answer your question, yes, brands ask. But I think like you have to ask yourself that. Obviously, you cannot, like no one has like any, like no one can for sure say something will go viral. But I think if you spent... enough time in the content creation business and like been obsessed with it, been like analyzing everything, writing everything, practicing daily on these small things as well, you kind of understand that when you hit upon an idea, you're like, okay, this has a potential to go viral because it kind of checks all these buckets.
Yeah.
And you hopefully write it in that way to make sure it, like, see, I can give an example. Like, we just recently did this one Shark Tank ad, which we wrote, produced this Bidai thing.
Corporate Bidai.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lovely ad.
Yeah, so, like, when the team, see, the thing is, like, the other two members in the team don't talk, so I get a lot of credit, okay? Because everyone assumes, like, it's me or Tanmay just doing it.
Yeah.
So, like, Deep and Puneet, they, like, probably yeah. work hardest, but they just don't, they're introverts.
Mm. Mm.
So, like, basically, like, when you crack an idea like that, you immediately know that, like, okay, this is going to do well on LinkedIn.
Mm.
All right, this is a LinkedIn idea.
Yeah.
So, then you start looking at, what are these insights that people crib about on LinkedIn? Like, so you try and understand what corporates crib about.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you see a lot of these posts where people are making, saying that, like, fucking, like, Friday night, boss will say, like, Monday morning, I want it.
Mm.
Okay. So, you know, that's like a, that's a common crib over there.
Yeah.
So then, like, you kind of make some notes and then you sort of put it and reflect it in the ad.
Yeah.
So, you kind of have a sense that this is going to do well.
Yeah.
And that's why you attempted it. And you know where it could do well. And also, generally, you know that the observation is that, you know, your boss takes your credit most of the times. I mean, this is a general observation yeah. in corporate. You get peanuts for hikes. Then you're made to work weekends. You're always made to feel like bad. So you take all these insights and you put it into the idea. So you exactly know what like nerve you want to touch in people, right?
Hmm.
So yeah, if you practice it long enough, you will start understanding the triggers of the internet.
How did you pick up? So that writing was so precise.
Hmm.
The thought that went into writing, jo uska jo likha hai, right? The lingos that were picked up, corporate lingo, circle back, amazingly utilized in the ad, right? So, uska, and if you compare that with a Subway's ad where you see Vishwanathan Anand like sweating. If you can talk a little bit more about how do you pick up those, that finesse in writing?
Mm-hmm.
So as to, you know, kind of churn out such a relevant ad for that audience. Before you do that, I would like to tell our audience that we'll continue with our discussion in the next part. So stay tuned.